You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Welcome to Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. You might be picking this up after listening to part one of our episode 3 recap. We split it into 2 episodes for your listening pleasure to make it a little bit more digestible. So much has happened, and if you were just listening to part one, you'd remember that the ladies are preparing for a party that they are throwing in Mary Alice Young's honor. This date has been on their calendar for months. They're all getting ready, but they're having their own dramas as they prepare. So Bree and Rex are still in marriage counseling. Lynette is hanging out with Tom, trying to handle those rascals. Susan has a major crush on Mike Delfino, but Carl comes back into town with Brandy. And Gabby, what could she be up to? Just kidding. Hooking up with John Roland, but also avoiding blackmail from a 9-year-old girl. Well, that's kind of where we were. We saw their individual storylines. Now we're going to hop into the party where the most iconic line ever is dropped. So, as always, buckle up.
Season 1, Episode 3, Pretty Little Picture. The gals decide to execute the dinner late Mrs. Mary Alice Young never went through with. Susan's ex-husband, Carl, stops by the neighborhood, leaving Susan in a very vulnerable position with Mike Delfino. Gabrielle is blackmailed by a little lady on the lane, her 9-year-old neighbor. Lynette goads Tom to attend the dinner party with her despite his supposedly busy schedule. Bree and Rex try to hide their marriage counseling from their neighbors, but reach a breaking point.
This dinner party starts crazy and ends crazy. Like, it's just like, it's like a train that you can't stop. Like, this thing just, it's a disaster.
Yeah, so Lynette's on the phone with Tom, pouring herself a little drink, and Tom is complaining to her. He's like, you need to come home. I don't understand my kids. I don't even remember their names.
Yeah, he's like, you trying to name him? He's like, Carter?
He calls him Carter I did. And he doesn't remember their names. And Lynette's like, it's not brain surgery. I think you've got it.
Also, if they're just now getting, she's what, been there 10 minutes? what on earth?
She's like not even at the party yet.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's happening. And then Susan and Gabby are chatting because I guess they're friends. And Gabby's like, I'm so sore. And Susan's like, maybe you're wearing the wrong running shoes. Yeah. Knowing that she doesn't know, but I feel like Susan's on to her. She's like,
I think Susan is too. Yeah. I don't know. She suspects something about Gabby for sure.
So they're all chatting, and then Rex and Carlos are talking about tennis lessons.
And Carlos is like giving him the third degree. Like, where do you go? Who do you see? Who's your guy? What kind of racket do you have?
Rex is sweating.
Yeah. He's sweating through the suit.
Sweating bullets.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my gosh. Yeah, third degree is happening, and he breaks. He breaks
so quickly.
He just comes out and says it. He says, Bree lied. We're in counseling. And Bree drops her hors d'oeuvres on the floor. They hit the floor with a thump. And the room goes silent, dead silent. And everybody's heads swing around. Mouths are agape. And time stops.
I feel like the women, though, try to give her a sympathetic look. Like, they're giving her it's okay.
It's like that moment. Everybody's had that moment when you're at a party and you're kind of talking to somebody and it gets silent all of a sudden and you are the loudest person in the room. Maybe that's just me because I'm generally loud.
voice carries too.
You're
fine.
Screaming. It's not good. You're screaming and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? And everybody's kind of turns their head a little bit. That's what happened. It wasn't anything bad, but Bree snatches that drink and she's seething and I thought she was going to throw it on him.
I thought she was going to throw it on him, too. I was like, oh, my God, yes, we're getting, a Real Housewives moment.
I wish she did, but she didn't.
She should have.
And
made it messy, bitch.
Rex says something that is, it breaks Bree, because this is her biggest fear. And I feel like I've had moments like this, as I'm a bit of a perfectionist, too, sometimes. The Rex says, our life isn't perfect and the world isn't ending now that people know. I'm like, yes, Brie. Like, it's not ending. You're fine. It's
okay. I think that, like, that sentiment is right. But I also think, like, that was not the way for people to find out.
Oh, absolutely not.
I think he could have kept his traps. He literally spilled it like the first 5 minutes. Like, I feel like they weren't there that long.
He had like two sips of a drink. He wasn't even drunk.
No, he just like was holding the wine to make it look like he had an excuse to say it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so stupid. And it's like, dude, you're right. But you're also like executing this in the meanest way possible.
I feel like everyone in LA, in counseling or not, in couples therapy, they just talk about it. So this is like a little bit beyond me because it's so casual here, and maybe the 20 years almost 20 years that have passed have made it like more casual, like mental health and things like that are just so much more like regular to talk about now.
Yeah,
so this would never happen now, but I respect that people want to keep things private, and if that was the case even now or then, like, he should have just done it. But it sounds like he wanted this to come out.
I mean, he doesn't want to try. So like, for him, like, this coming out is like one step further from Brie. Like, he's trying to leave. That's what, I don't know. Like,
well,
I said, Rex,
when
ain't trying.
When she said, I miss you, and he said, I know.
That was harsh.
I was like,
ugh. I would have cried. Like, I would have just started crying.
I would have too. That was rude. But Brie is over this. She's over that, over the fact that everybody knows. And she's like, let's fucking eat. Let dinner served. Sit down. Everybody sit down.
Yeah.
I'm handling this. So they're all silent at dinner. And I've also been at one of these dinners before too. So uncomfy. Susan can't handle the silence because that's just who she is. She seems like a person who needs like white noise.
I mean, I like this part. I like that she kind of breaks the silence. She's like, we got an elephant in the room. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah, she did it in the right way. She says, she's like, counseling, so what? And I'm like, good one, good one. And Brie is like, shut the fuck up.
But I like it because she like tells her own embarrassing story and they all kind of like tell. So like,
yeah.
Susan tells about being naked and everyone's laughing.
Yeah, and Mike's like, right place, right time.
Yeah.
And Lynette is like, okay, Lynette goes hard.
Lynette's she's like, we fucked on Mr.
Like,
Toad.
She's like, when Tom's away, I will play. And she's like, try getting kicked out of Disneyland. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what? Has anybody been? We've been on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I know both of us have been.
That's a hard ride.
If anybody out there has been to Disneyland in general, fucking on any of those rides, like, maybe it's a small world. You could fuck on that.
You know what ride is actually perfect for that?
What?
It's not a Disneyland. It's a Disney World.
Which one?
The Epcot ball thing where you're like in those like pods and it's like in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking from experience.
I feel like you are. You
maybe.
Guys can't see her face, but she,
maybe
she's
not.
Speaking from experience. I can confirm. So they fuck on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is a fast-paced ride. How could you fuck on that unless it broke down?
It's like quick and it kind of
it's throwing you around.
And there's like, you can see the other cars kind of.
Like, you're going to get an injury from
that
ride.
They got kicked out because some kids saw some shit that they shouldn't have seen.
I don't know. So she's like, try doing the perp walk down Main Street. I'm just like, she's too excited about this.
I know. She's been waiting to tell the story.
She waited like 10 years.
Yeah, the story's been in the bank, like waiting.
And then Gabby is flexing and I don't respect her story at all because it wasn't funny or cute or
like she's cute. She doesn't have to be
catchy or
funny
or anything. It was just like kind of not cool. And she says, well, Carlos and I broke a waterbed in Cancun. And
because he has
like,
a thing for spiky heels.
Yeah. And I was like, and Carlos is like, it wasn't role play. I have to clarify. She was wearing them. Like, I'm not, it's
like,
not
he
weird.
At least tried to make it funny at least. Like,
you know,
oh my God.
It was just like, I didn't really like her story. It didn't fit with the rest to me.
No.
And I was like, whatever, Gabby.
Hers was like a humble brag. Like, wasn't like anything.
It was a humble brag. Hate it. So...
and then just Brie,
oh,
here we go.
I don't
go.
Know if you guys are ready.
Oh my God, I'm
are
so
you
excited.
Ready?
I'm so
are
excited.
Are you ready? Brie is, all the life has been sucked out of her after Rex ruined everything. She, everything's quiet. She looks straight down the dinner table because she's head of the table. And she says, Rex cries after he ejaculates.
And the whole room. Does that. It gets so silent.
Rex cries after he ejaculates.
Oh.
How do you recover from that as a party, as a human? I don't, like, even
I don't
know.
Even have
I don't even have,
I
like,
don't know how
stories
to process
for
this.
It's, like, I still, like.
This is, like, something maybe she could tell her girlfriends, like, if she's complaining about her sex life, but like at a dinner, like what was she?
I'm still processing. Ugh. It was so jarring. It's so sobering. And no, I have no relatable stories to this.
No,
this
I've
is
never
private
had that.
Information that you should never say about your partner, no. Unless it's like your best friend.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you're talking with just a gal, like you need to just talk about something, sure. But like dinner party, like read the room.
No, she knew what she was doing. She was calculated.
You know what? Based on what happens after, I would say it was a choice. But it was like, it's just so out of left field. Also, I love the fact that Rex cries after he ejaculates. I like that she humbled this man a little bit because he's been acting a little too high and mighty.
Keep them unconfident.
We need to keep them unconfident.
You girls, keep your man unconfident. It's going to do you worlds of favors.
They get too confident and that's when they dip.
Yeah, they get too confident and they do shit stuff like this. And Rex just, he doesn't say anything. Everybody's silent. He gets up and takes those keys, slams the door and bounces. And I think that's the right response.
Yeah.
I think, Rex, you're good.
If I were Rex, I would have, yeah. No words. I'm
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and they shut the fuck up and eat their basil puree.
And then we get the aftermath.
Everybody walks home separately. Yeah. We see everybody after. And Susan and Mike walk home. Mike was like, that was weird, wasn't it? I mean, I feel like internally Mike's like, I hate this place. I should never move here, but I guess this is where I am.
Yeah.
He's like, signed that 1 year lease. So fuck.
I mean, I really like this like scene with them though. Like, I think that they have really good chemistry, these two actors. And I think this scene is like sweet.
Yeah.
Because they like talk about just her being naked and the embarrassment. And then like his quote though, when he's like, but can I say, like, because he caught a glimpse, mm-hmm. like, wow. And I found that to be like such an appropriate like way to comment on her body without being like creepy.
Yeah.
Like he's sweet. I like Mike. I'm like, dare I say a dreamboat? I wrote that in my
what
notes.
What a dreamboat.
Oh my God. Because he's just so like, he's very charming in this scene.
I still think he's a bit aloof. He's like, do you think Rex is gone for good? And I'm like, what do you think, sir?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And Susan's like, I hope not. And I'm like, you should hope he is.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Just end it. And she's like, I never seen them like this, but. Yeah, I think it's cute. And I think Mike gives her some good advice because she's dealing with her ex, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And he says Carl was just a starter marriage, an 11-year boot camp that resulted in a child. But it's been prepping you for something better. He doesn't say it like that. But
yeah, but I think it's like a nice sentiment.
It's a nice sentiment. And I think that's the nicest thing that he could have said to her.
Yeah.
A woman struggling with moving on. And
without making her feel bad about talking. Like, I like that he lets her feel comfortable talking about that to him.
Yeah. And so I think we should all be looking at things like that. Maybe mm-hmm. That's really what I walked away from this episode. I wrote that down. I'm like, we should all maybe look at that. Like, every ending is a new beginning. And that beginning can be any time. You shouldn't have to move on right away. And Susan took her time. Mike is kind of a bozo, but he's extremely lovable and he did something heartfelt for her.
Yeah,
so I'd agree, he's a dreamboat. And he flirts with her and I feel giddy at the end.
I know, it's sweet. Like, I feel sweet about that. So then we get kind of the conclusion of her and Carl's little spat.
Julie gets dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Susan runs. She sprints. Susan's a good runner. I've seen her sprint in a couple of these episodes over places. She runs out to the car and it's a 3-seater up front, so you know it's old. And she asks Brandy to scoot over. Brandy's wearing a strapless top and looking young, young and hot.
Yeah.
And I'm intimidated for Susan. She says, I'm moving on. I think she should have said, I'm moving on. Mike Delfino thinks I'm hot.
Yeah, he said, wow.
That's kind of like what the vibe was. Mm-hmm. But she apologizes to Brandy for being angry and says that she's sorry.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big, bold move of her to make. She gets out of the car. That's all she needed. She says her piece and Carl sucks still.
Carl doesn't say shit.
But Brandy makes a move that I love and appreciate. And I want more Brandy after this.
I like queens supporting queens, man. That's
yeah,
what this is.
Yes. She says, Mrs. Mayor. And Susan goes, call me Susan.
Yeah, because she's like, you don't even make me feel older than I already feel. Fuck.
She's like, do you want to get drinks on Sunday?
Yeah. No. Let's get Cosmos.
Yeah. No, but Brandy explains that she thought the marriage was over between Carl and Susan. And I once again am like, Carl, get more creative.
Yeah.
This was on Carl.
But I like that Brandy's just like, you know, I never meant, like, Brandy's not malicious. Like, she's the other person, but she wasn't the one in the marriage. And I think it's, like, sweet of her to apologize in that sense, though, and be like, you know, there was no ill intent
yeah.
to Susan.
And what she apologizes that for that. Like, I thought it was over. And then she gets back in the car and Carl is like, what the fuck?
I know. Carl's like pissed that she's being a good person.
Yeah. So Susan leaves with a smile on her face, feeling like 10 pounds have been lifted off her shoulders. Mm-hmm. And she's ready to go fuck Mike eventually.
I think like her evening with Mike too just reminded her that like she doesn't need to be hung up on Carl.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a great, like helps her, like, and his advice, but it's just nice to see Susan feel confident and like she doesn't need to stress about this Brandy Carl situation.
Yeah. No stress, no sweat. It's over. And yeah. I like that for Susan. She's looking young and hot and fierce.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can catch up with Lynette after she goes home from this party. She's had an evening off. She's had a couple of glasses of wine. She's really feeling herself.
She looks hot in that dress, too. That backless white dress.
Yeah, she's looking really good. Smoking. Tom, she goes home and Tom calls the kids terrorists. And I was like, Jordan.
I know. He's like, we are raising little terrorists. And I was like, yeah, you are. Like, I've been saying that.
I mean, he calls out the cookies. He's like, I know you gave them sugar. And I think this is cute. Like, these two people know each other super well.
Yeah.
And they talk shit about Rex and Bree, which I love because it's an intimate moment with your partner where yeah. I don't think it's malicious.
No,
and
I don't
wasn't
think so.
Mean-spirited, but she's like, this happened and it was crazy.
Yeah.
And he's in on it. And mm-hmm. I like that. I like when your partner wasn't there, but they're in on your drama.
Yeah. That's they care about your gossip.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I need someone to gossip
Just
with.
Need a sounding board. She's like, he stormed out, but...
She's like, I'm not going to get into it. She doesn't, like, tell him the details.
This is my note. She says, I said, how could she not tell him about the line?
Yeah. Like, I sat there like, bitch, like, that's gold. That's a gold story right there. Tell that.
I'm like, that is the news. It's not that he stormed out. It's the news.
Yeah.
Tom isn't surprised. He says, I don't think they're very happy. Lynette starts to be a little bit worried. And she asks, are we happy?
There's a loaded question. And I think Tom, like, Tom's face, like, he's aloof as well. I think he's a classic aloof man.
Yeah.
Like these men are. But I don't think he, like, is doing, like, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's just, like, kind of ditzy.
No, he's a SoCal surfer that smoked a lot of weed.
I think he really does love Lynette. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
And I think that question, like, it kind of, it looks like it hurts him that she even asked that.
Yeah, but I think you get to a point in every relationship that you ask, like, that question at some point. Especially if you've been married and have 10 kids or whatever they have.
12 million children.
You're just popping them out.
You've birthed ISIS.
But we see how much he loves her because Lynette gets home later this week and she's looking exhausted and half dead once again. And Tom surprises her with a margarita night and sombreros. And he's recreating his party with his coworkers that she was mad about, even though he looked like a doofus.
Well, and at first she kind of like pushes back, but and he says like, oh, I'm trying. And I'm like, you know what? I think it was really sweet. I thought that was sweet.
I think this is a win. I really like that move.
I think they're like the best like example, though, of like a marriage on the show. Like I put that down, like that's kind of what marriage is in my, like, from my viewpoint, is like he's trying, like he is receptive to her asking that question. She didn't even have to say like, you need to do something special for me.
Yeah,
he heard her say like, are we happy? And he goes, she's clearly not feeling happy right now, what can I do?
Yeah.
And like he does like this thing where she felt left out of a fun evening and he wants to like give it to her. And I think that that's like it's thoughtful to me. And it's kind of like he kind of roasts himself with it a little bit with that. Like he's like bringing up the shitty thing he did that made her feel bad and turning it into like a positive. And like just that closing moment of them dancing. And she says like it's going to take more than this. But like that moment of them dancing with their kids watching like is very sweet. Like that is a very nice note to leave on.
And the kids see this interaction and I said, I hope it sets them up for happy, healthy relationships in their future, even though they're going to be frat stars. The name's this part. Parker, Preston, and Party or whatever. I don't know what their name is.
Party? Porter.
Porter. I can never get
Preston, that. Porter, Parker, and then Penny's baby.
But also, this raised a question for me. I'm like, where is the infant during this whole scene?
I feel like the infant comes and goes.
The infant is in and out. Yeah. But that's where we end up with them. And I do love this storyline for them. And we actually don't really see Gabby. Oh, no, we do see Gabby.
We get
after
one
the
last
party.
Scene with Gabby and Carlos, and it's, I didn't like it.
Pretty savage. Just pretty savage.
It kind of paints them as like they think they're better than everybody in Wisteria Lane, and it's like, why are you living there then if like this lifestyle is such a joke to you?
Carlos is talking mad shit. I don't think I've addressed this before. I have a problem with his facial hair. It just looks really douchey and greasy. I hate it.
He looks like he needs to wear a fedora at all times.
Yes, he wears the fedora. He's like a pickup artist.
Oh my god, yeah, you know, he's a fedora wearer.
But he's like shaving his nose hairs or something. And I'm like, I want a cut of him shaving that whatever. It's not a beard.
Goatee.
It's fucking weird. So I don't like it at all. If you have that facial hair, shave it. It sucks. He is talking crap about the neighbors.
Not just crap. Like, he's being really negative about... really mean about Brie, like saying, like, could you imagine being married to someone like that?
He says, I would cry too if I was married to Brie.
And Gabby, like, laughs. I'm sorry,
Gabby is that's quiet. Yeah, quiet.
That's a bit demeaning. Like, that's a bit harsh to say. I mean, they're supposed to be friends, so it's like, I don't know. I just feel like that was a bit harsh for her to, like, be like, yeah, LOL.
Is silent, and I think this is where I have the theory that I think she hates being on Wisteria Lane. And I think she hates all these women. I think she hates this life. And she's just going along with it. Yeah, Carlos also says that if a woman ever did that to me, it would be the last time she ever did it or something. Something
basically
related to or referencing potential abuse.
Yeah, he's like, if a woman ever humiliated me like that, I could tell you right now that would be the only time.
It would only happen once. Yeah, I think. And
Gabby kind of looks like, oh, shit.
So we're like... Another thing for her to be afraid of. She's afraid that this girl's going to tell about her affair, but also she's really afraid of her husband, I think, in a lot of ways. So that's where we leave them. And then we do check in with Brie and Rex, even though this is an extremely broken situation at this point. We check in with them after the party because, surprise, surprise, Rex does come back because he doesn't know how to live on his own. Without Brie.
I know, she's like packing his bag. I'm like, why is she packing his bag? But she's like doing it really chipper. Like, it's like her attitude is confusing.
She is talking to him about where he's gonna stay. She's still mourning the loss of their relationship. We've seen her reference things from their past several times. Like, remember when we got engaged? Mm-hmm. Remember how things used to be? I miss you in bed with me. She is like, remember when we were in college and we're
like the couple everyone wanted to be.
Yeah. She's like, what happened to us? And why are things like this? And it makes me want to cry because I know what she's feeling. Like, it's also your mind is just spiraling and wondering. And we know she has OCD, so this probably isn't easy for her. And he doesn't have a good answer, but he says, like, it's like this because you can't even let me pack my own suitcase.
But, like, what does that mean?
I mean, without saying it, he's like, you're a control freak, and I don't get the vibe that she used to be that way.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're not letting me be my own person. It doesn't sound like she is. So I have to give, like, I know you're not Team Rex, and I'm not either, but I have to give him some props because I see where he's coming from, and I see her frustration, too, and I think this is, like, an awful thing to watch from the outside.
No, I'm not Team Rex. I do think, like, because I brought it up in the last episode, like, there were a couple moments that I did understand, like, where he was coming from, but he's just not expressing it properly.
Yeah, but she's not either. I can't be like, he's not doing this and this and this. It's like, Brie is sucking too in every way.
I guess, but the problem is, like, he's the one that has a problem with the relationship, so it is kind of his job to approach it.
I have to take one for Rex. I have to go out for bat to him because I don't think you are holding Brie accountable for some of the shit she's doing.
He's the one that decided that everything was miserable. And the first two episodes, he spent that time, like, being really aggressive with her. Like, saying, like, I'm great. I've been a great husband. Yeah. You're the problem. You're the problem. You're the problem. This episode, she snaps because he fucking... I get that she is a control freak, but I also think, like, I don't think he should have to, like, tell all the neighbors what's going on. I personally think, like, that privacy... is like normal.
Yeah, but we don't know if that was on purpose or not. We can't say. Just like we can't say if it was on purpose that she almost killed him or not at that saddle ranch.
That's true. But like her saying the ejaculation thing was not okay. Like I'm not saying that that was at all okay. But I just think like Rex is really demeaning to her, and I think like she's starting to react to it more manically.
There's no excuse for it, and I know it's a manic reaction when you're like, why are things like this, and you're like on the verge of tears and you're like laid up in bed all day just fucking crying, which you probably is doing. But I don't know, I see problems on both sides. I can't pick which. I mean, Rex is worse, but I'm not gonna demonize him because I think he also has his reasons for being the way he is.
I guess, like, I wish he would just say, like, you are a control freak. Instead of saying, you don't let me pack my own... Like, he's being, like, so vague. Like, it's like...
I mean, I think she got the message.
Yeah.
I think she understood. Because I wasn't left with questions. I immediately was like, oh, I get it.
I did not get it.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, okay. So,
yeah, because then he leaves and she doesn't even fuck it. I mean, I would have been sobbing in my bed the minute that door closed. But she straightened up the sheets and, like, continued with her day. So she... There's a blockage there, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's where we leave them, and it's not happy.
Well, we actually get one more weird scene with Bree.
Do we?
Or she discovers the tape.
Oh, so, actually, how could I forget?
Really quick. Oh, it is quick. It is right at the end. She goes
It's snappy.
Yeah, she goes to Dr. Goldfein's office kind of freaking out because Rex moved out.
Yeah.
Which is like, all right, we get it. But that's not the juicy part. You know, he's like, let me go talk to my other client. So while he's doing that, she sees this like cupboard with like recordings. And she wants to find Rex's from his, like, solo session. Meetings. Yeah. And as she's going to grab his, she sees Mary Alice's tape and she grabs it. Which I find interesting that she only grabbed that one. Like, she didn't even bother to, like, she, like, completely forgot that she was, like, trying to grab Rex's. I don't know. I appreciate, you know, then she, like, leaves because she's like, shit, I got to get out of here if I'm going to get this tape. Yeah. So that's, like, a fun tidbit. We don't get to hear what's on the tape in this episode, sadly. But I am excited, a new development into the mind of Mary Alice Young.
But that's what keeps us on going on to episode four.
So I'm ready, I'm ready for it. I'm pumped. I want to watch it.
Yeah, so Paul and his son, as you recall, were having a bit of a dispute there. So next time we see them, Zach is zonked out, zonked the fuck out on the couch, sleeping like he's dead. And the news is on TV, and the trunk that was dropped off of the bridge last episode was found.
Shocker.
Shocker, because it wasn't done. Like, this whole thing was executed so poorly with him.
Yeah.
So I wrote, is he really surprised?
Like, he has a death. He has like a wish to get caught.
And he turns it off and he has scotch in hand, which I loved because I remember from the first episode, he was sketchy drinking scotch in the corner eavesdropping. Yeah. He turns it off and goes to the other room to drink his scotch. And Zach was not asleep. He opens those eyes. That's what's up in their household. Mary Alice Young has a bit of a voiceover on the way out as we see Paul hammering the for sale sign into the house.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, waking everyone up, and everybody sees it.
And he's like, I'm going to pick the weirdest times. I'm going to do midday to do the stuff I should be doing at night, and I'm going to do at night the stuff I should be doing during the day.
Yeah, and I have to say, it's another, like, pickaxe. So first he was pickaxing, and then he has, like, a huge mallet with his for sale sign. No. And I'm like, this is all he ever does. It's just nail things into the ground. But that's where we leave Paul. He's planning to move out, I guess, probably probably unbeknownst to his son. He's a person who's afraid of his fear and running away from it. So
yes,
that's where we wrap up. Once again, left with many mysteries.
I know.
The most important one being the tape.
I'm excited for the tape.
What's on the tape?
What's on the tape?
Why is Paul selling the house? That's a mystery.
Yeah.
No answer needed. Yeah. You're like, well, I can ad lib.
And then, you know, like, what's going to happen with Lynette and Tom? Are they going to be able to kind of work through this? Bree and Rex, like... I mean, that seems like a lost cause from where I'm standing at this point.
We just give up. We don't even cover Bree and Rex next episode.
We're good.
Gabby is
being blackmailed by a child.
What's going to happen with the neighbor girl?
And then Susan and Mike, like, you know.
Will they, won't they?
Will they, won't they?
Where is Edie?
Where's he? Yeah, we need our interloper. We need Edie to come back into the picture.
Where is Mrs. Hewer?
Yeah, that Snoop, like, she's fucking snooping somewhere.
Yeah, she went to another city to snoop. Yeah,
she's
for the
in a different home.
So we're left with a lot of questions. So, I mean, now that we've wrapped up,
I mean, to pick our housewife. Of the
I feel
week.
Exhausted from this episode.
I know,
it was so good.
One.
It was so good.
It was really good.
I have to choose a housewife, and this is always the hardest thing to do.
I know. I'm trying to. I think I know what I want. I think I know. I have a housewife of the week.
Okay.
I can go first.
You can
want.
Go first this week.
So I'm going to pick Susan, and I'm going to pick Susan because she has a bangin' bod, and we got to see her, you know, basically in the nude. And I think for once she played everything with Mike somewhat okay, except for the multiple messages, but it still worked out.
God.
And I really liked how, like, her story wrapped up with Carl this week. I think, like, we got to see Susan really, like, be a bigger person. I think we can all take something away from her storyline. I don't know. I'm happy to see her confident and happy, and I'm going to give her Housewife of the Week.
I like that. She did see some personal growth and evolution.
Yeah.
And it was great to see. I think that's what we needed in the housewife realm. For me, the Housewife of the Week, I feel like I choose on like the worst standards every week. Last week, I was like, Gabby, even though she's fucking a 16-year-old without a bank account. This week, I have to go with Brie.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to go with Brie.
Even though I wasn't going up for bat for her just now, I was kind of defending Rex. I have to go with Brie because that line is iconic, you guys.
I want it on a t-shirt.
Rex cries after he ejaculates. That's why she gets it. I don't even have... I mean, and the pliers.
That was a pretty, bold move.
That she's making him uncomfortable in that bed. Mm-hmm. And I think even though I did talk shit about her not being able to express herself that well, she said that she missed him. And I think that was brave because he gave her the most savage response ever when he said, I know,
that was harsh.
I think Brie took it from me. She did. That is the most... epic thing ever to say that to your family, not even family. Well, he is family, I guess, but your friends, your neighbors.
In front of all those people.
Oh my goodness. She knew what she was doing. She was strategic. She was tactical. And she knew that she was potentially blowing up her life.
I think for her, it was like he humiliated her. And so she's going to fucking humiliate him.
She doesn't take anything.
I honestly think in her head, she feels like she's sad that he's leaving. Like that's why she goes to the counselor or the therapist, whatever. But she knew Rex is going to leave at some point. So you know what? Might as well drop the bomb and make him leave. Because it's he was going to leave in the coming weeks. That's where they were headed. And you know what? If he's going to embarrass her, she's just going to embarrass him back. You know what? I respect it. I kind of respect it.
She made an executive decision. I 100%. I don't even have to think about it. She's my housewife of the week of my life. I respect her in this decision. So. Nice. So that's my housewife of the week. So now that we know our housewives, I think it's time for our Apple rating.
This is one of my favorite parts. I have my rating in my head. So whenever you're ready, let's count down.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm ready. So okay. Are you ready?
3, 2, 1.
4.5.
Ooh, you went higher than me.
Because that line.
Okay.
It really does it
I really
me.
Thought I was going shooting high, so I'm glad you kind of overshot
4.5.
me.
4.5. Yes. Episode 3, 4.5. We're right, already pretty high. I think we saw a lot of personal growth from Susan. I think Lynette asked a hard question to her husband, and he came through. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see a refreshing relationship that looked healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Brie really did a Hail Mary. She made a huge decision. And it was calculated.
I mean, she nuked her relationship.
It was bold. And Gabby's where that 0.5 is missing.
I know. I think Gabby's storyline was kind of meh.
I mean.
Comparatively, at least.
Yeah. Gabby doesn't really have anything redeeming. But I think we got insight into her feeling afraid of her husband. Mm-hmm. And the potential to touch on domestic abuse, which is a big issue, a very real issue. And I'm hoping that this show touches on it. So I have hopes for that setup, but Gabby was really the least interesting of these. But I felt like all characters, we made leaps and bounds in their character growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled to see where we're going with them. And that's why it gets such high marks for me. And I also felt that at several times I pointed out it was very relatable for me in a lot of different ways, especially with Susan not being able to let go and Brie having these frantic feelings of desperately wanting to hold on to this relationship. I felt like it was relatable across the board in a lot of ways.
Yeah. No, that's now you're making me rethink my rating. I'm like, shit. I think for me, a 4, I'm going to be in a 4 because, and I will steal this from a podcast we've listened to, I know what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel while this was a really strong episode, we have a lot of good stuff coming our way. But overall, I agree with you on a lot of points. There's a lot of good growth, character development. I think I really loved Lynette getting more meat in this episode. I liked watching her and Tom's relationship. I like Tom. I want to get to know him more. I want to get to know the men more in general. Just because I think they're Carlos to me is a little one dimensional right now. I feel like his character is just kind of the angry rich husband.
with suspect facial hair.
Yeah, like terrible facial hair.
He's going to, he's at work. He doesn't go to work. He goes to like pickup artist classes.
Yeah. No, he's terrible.
Puts on a fedora and hits the bar.
God. That's what we find out is he's like a public speaker. Like he teaches people, like he's teaching those classes. But yeah, I don't know. I really like this episode though, because the dinner party scene is iconic. Great lines. I like the theme of the episode, like facing our fears, like Lynette's facing the fear of like, is she happy? Like what's happening? So that's a tough question to ask. Once you ask that, like you have to go down the
you
road.
You see how unhappy you are.
Yeah, no, but it's like you can't stop that train. Once you start going that way, like
that's a tough threshold to cross, because you could have a thought and ruminate on it for mm-hmm. a long time, but there's thoughts that you have and you know that as soon as you say it, you can't take it back, and you know that it's going to change. It could potentially change, or you know that it will change mm-hmm. the trajectory of where you once thought you were going, and that sucks.
Absolutely. No. So I think like there's a good theme in this. I'm going to dock half a point from the reason why I did 4 instead of 5, I guess. Gabby, I'm not getting a point down just because her character was just kind of mean in this episode. It really rubbed me the wrong way at the end. I was kind of like, all right. And then her storyline was just like, whatever, that little girl scares me. And then there's no Edie in this episode. Yeah. Like, I love Edie. I'm sorry. Gosh, my housewife of the week didn't even show up. So but overall, great episode. I don't know. My favorite we've watched so far.
My favorite that we watched so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pilot is hard to top. We had so much fun with the pilot.
Yeah,
the
pilot's fun.
This is up there for me.
Yeah.
You guys, it's that time. We have to say goodbye, close the doors, turn the lights off on Wisteria Lane. But we are so happy if you joined us up mm-hmm. to this point. So we're always looking for your feedback. So if you could go to Apple Music or iTunes or whatever we're calling it these days and rate and review us, that would be so appreciated, and we would love that. Also, if you are enjoying this content already, you can enjoy more of our content. You can find us on Instagram at @desperatepod or on Twitter at @desperate_pod and DM us, connect with us there.
Yeah, and you can always email us at desperatepod@gmail.com and go to our website, desperatepod.com, where you can kind of see links to all of these, and then email us anything, any questions you have, any comments, message us on Instagram, you know, reach out. We want to communicate. We want to make this a collaborative effort. You know, we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, send us fan fiction if you want. I'm hoping to start writing mine.
Send us memes.
Yeah,
send us memes. I want the memes.
Yes, just send us late night messages. Yeah. But also send us like your housewife of the week after listening or before listening even. And send us your Apple ratings mm-hmm. for these episodes and maybe some of your thoughts, because we are approaching it with how we look at it, but these are universal situations, typically.
We like the perspectives. Give us the perspectives.
Yeah, you can have opinions on, and maybe you'll get us thinking about something we didn't think about. So we are just so happy that you joined us. And as always, know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.